A lot of health care issues are facing Congress this year, and the new Health and Human Services Secretary, Mike Leavitt, yesterday gave a preview of one of them, remaking the Medicaid program for the poor. NPR's Julie Robner has this report.
He's been on the job less than a week, but as Utah's longest-serving governor, Mike Leavitt learned a thing or two about Medicaid. And he wasn't shy about sharing his feelings at his first formal speech to the World Health Congress in Washington.
And I know from experience that Medicaid is not meeting its potential. It's rigid, it's inflexible, and it's inefficient. And worse yet, it is not financially sustainable.
Leavitt is walking into what's shaping up as the nastiest domestic policy fight after Social Security. At stake is the health care for nearly 50 million Americans, including low-income mothers and children, those with disabilities, and the frail elderly. Leavitt first tried to allay fears about what the administration might propose.
Some have predicted that our reform would inevitably break our commitment as a nation to our most needy and our most vulnerable citizens. May I say this simply is not true. Some have been concerned that we would propose a block grant system like the one we discussed in 1995. Not so. There will be no block grant system for Medicaid.
But that may be more a matter of semantics than of policy. 2 years ago, the administration proposed a complicated program that would have left Medicaid untouched for those services and populations states are required by law to cover. That includes very low-income pregnant women and young children and Medicare beneficiaries with incomes under the poverty line. But the plan would have limited federal spending for optional services and populations states can choose to cover or not. Those include prescription drugs and institutional care for disabled children. And talking with reporters after his speech, Leavitt refused to rule out a repeat of that earlier proposal.
There will be no block grant on mandatory populations. It's an important part of what I came today to say.
But you said mandatory
population. What about optional?
Well, the optional populations today are optional.
The secretary also hinted at some other changes the administration is likely to propose. Changing the way Medicaid pays for prescription drugs, for example, could save as much as $15 billion over the next decade. Another $4.5 billion could be trimmed by closing loopholes that let wealthy individuals dispose of their assets to qualify for Medicaid-paid nursing home care.
Medicaid simply cannot become an inheritance protection plan.
But the biggest savings, he said, would come from cracking down on his former colleagues.
We need to have a very uncomfortable, but frankly necessary conversation with our funding partners, the states.
States that are using loopholes to try to get the federal government to pay more than its promised share for Medicaid, he said. But it's not just governors who are likely to resist such changes. Democrats have vowed to fight what they call an effort to dismantle Medicaid's safety net. Rhode Island Democratic Congressman Patrick Kennedy, who immediately preceded Leavitt at the conference, gave his own preview of what the opposition will claim if Medicaid funding were to be limited.
Essentially, that will mean that if you are a developmentally disabled person who needs oxygen and a wheelchair, whether you get that or not will depend on what state you live in.
The first shot in this war could be fired tonight in the President's State of the Union address. Julie Robner, NPR News, Washington.